Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The war in Afghanistan came to a deadly and chaotic conclusion in 2021 following U.S. withdrawal, resulting in the Taliban quickly regaining control and, in response, a migration of Afghans fleeing. For many troops, from mental health like PTSD and the traumatic physical toll from combat, war doesn't end with withdrawal or a return to civilian life. A new book follows a single military unit from enlistment to the tragic aftermath of war, capturing the impacts that are both visible and non-visible. That author is Ben Kessling, a journalist with The Wall Street Journal and a combat veteran himself. The book is titled Bravo Company, an Afghanistan deployment and its aftermath. Ben joins us now. Thanks for making the time.
Thank you very much for having me.
So you followed a single parachute infantry regiment in the 82nd Airborne Division for a decade. I mean, it really was a trajectory that began with enlistment, training, deployment, and the aftermath of returning home. How did you come to meet the soldiers of Bravo Company?
So I'm a Marine myself, and I met the men of Bravo Company 10 years after they got back from a harrowing deployment to Afghanistan for a reunion they were holding called Operation Resiliency, where the VA came together with a veteran service organization to try something new, to try a reunion where they brought all the men from this company back together so that they could have strong arms around them of the people who had the same exact experience they did. And they would have VA counselors there to help them through that experience because the men were having, there were some suicides after in the decade after their deployment and trying to adjust. And since that reunion, they've had zero suicides, thank God. And after I covered that reunion for the newspaper, for the Wall Street Journal, I realized there was more there. And I realized in order to tell that full story, I had to talk about everything from the moment they raised their hand in the recruiter's office up until the present. So the deployment, the workup, getting home, and then the 10 years of reckoning with all that.
Yeah, I mean, there really is a progression in your book. I mean, as you mentioned, it spans a decade. Given that there isn't a shortage of military books about deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan, what did you see that was missing that you used as inspiration?
Yeah, the thing that I really saw was the chance to write a third-person account of a unit's experience, but to use my own experience as a Marine, having been deployed twice, once as a platoon commander, to use that language that's available to people who maybe write first person or memoir, but to not have that memoir experience, which there's a lot of war stories that are war stories, right? Like, hey, here's what I saw, here's what I went through. You think your story is so important. Well, no, telling other people's story is the important thing. But being able to have the language to interpret that story was so important. I think that's one of the unique things about my book, Bravo Company. But also, a lot of times there's a disconnect between war stories and the aftermath of war stories. And with this book, I try to integrate that seamlessly so that you can see all the shades of gray, all the good, all the bad, the highs, the lows that these men go through when they come back from war. And then I weave that all together. For instance, there's a story of a guy they know as Sergeant J, Sergeant Alec Horrigi, right? Sergeant Horrigi, he came from Guadalajara, Mexico as an undocumented immigrant with his parents and joined the Army after he finished high school. And I follow him through his deployments. And he was on this deployment with Bravo Company. And on his next deployment after that, he lost his legs to an IED in Afghanistan. And I talk about what it is like for him to have lost his legs, because he's not bitter or angry about it. And in some ways, he's actually, his injuries are something that he can point to show folks what he gave to the country. But there's so many people that he served with that he feels bad about because their war wounds aren't visible, whether it's post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, or just what it's like to go through the extraordinary experience of war and come home and try to balance that out. So that's just one of the stories I tell in this book.
Yeah, as Sergeant Jay, you lead with him, Alex, in the prologue, and there's actually a local connection for us in your book because Alex lives in Woodland and is now a beekeeper, and as you mentioned, he lost both legs. I'm curious, how does Alex reconcile with his service and the physical sacrifice that he made?
Well, you know, it's an amazing thing when you talk to Alex. He says, look, I was doing my job. The Taliban were doing their job and they did it better than I did on that day. He's actually got like no hard feelings that he lost his legs to an IED planted by the Taliban. And he can reconcile that because when he came home, he was able to find purpose and meaning in his life. He has a family. He's a father. Got a great wife. He's got this beekeeping business. He's been able to find and make meaning after coming back from combat, which is such an important thing for men and women who go to war and come back. You know, it's one of the most extraordinary experiences that anyone will ever go through. And then to come back home and somehow make it so that isn't the defining point or the high point of life is so important as a society for us to do for the men and women who serve in combat. And Alex is able to balance that out. Yes, go ahead.
Oh, is that why you chose to lead with Alex in your prologue?
I chose to lead with Alex because he has such a well-rounded portrait of someone who's been in combat. He recognizes that he has this sort of these dark days that come over him. So it's not that he's immune to this or he's put all the trauma of combat behind him. It's that he recognizes that it's all part of, like, I guess for lack of a better word, a life cycle. It's combat and trauma for him are just experiences that have shaped him into the man he is today. That's why I led with him, because he allows us to talk so much about the different experiences of war, and he can do so from a very self-reflective space.
You write that Bravo Company was deployed to a notorious region in Kandahar. Tell us about the significance of this region.
So Kandahar province is sort of the hub for the Taliban. I mean, their self-proclaimed capital is down there. And the area in Kandahar where these men were deployed, and it was 2009, so it was all men at that time, in a parachute infantry regiment. These men were deployed to the Argandab Valley. And I say if Kandahar is sort of like the highway for the Taliban, the Argandab Valley is the fast lane. That's where things flowed in and out. That's where the world's most prized pomegranates are grown, where there's underbrush and undergrowth and orchards and canals and places where the Taliban is able to put in IEDs. And that's where these men found themselves deployed. When they were deployed, they very rarely got into firefights. What they found every day was IEDs planted in the ground. And anybody who's a veteran or has talked to a veteran knows the almost unbearable anxiety that comes with dealing with IEDs, planted in the ground that are hidden from you, and you never know what that next step will bring. And these men, they had dark humor to get through it, to say, hey, you know, are you the one who's going to lose a leg today, or is it going to be me? It's horrible, horrible humor, but that's what they used to get through it. And that's what they experienced every day. And so just that pressure put upon them is something I tried to capture, that incessant pressure.
Yeah, and by the time that Bravo Company was ready to return home, 3 soldiers had been killed in action. A dozen more had lost limbs. Half of the company had Purple Hearts. You also write that 2 soldiers died by suicide and more than a dozen tried, and others admitted to you that they've considered it. When I read that, I mean, that's just jarring, but you really experienced this in kind of like a progression in real time. How do you reflect on what ultimately was a traumatic and tragic outcome?
Well, it was a tragic and traumatic outcome, but it was also not a tragic outcome. You know, these men came back and they're living their lives and they're learning through each other and through their families how to move forward with life. So I try to say that there's, you know, it's not necessarily a tragedy. There are some tragic experiences that happen, but it's just life. And I want to explain that to the book is structured in a way that I hope civilians can learn a little bit more about what it's like to go to combat and come home. But I also want it to help veterans who have been there and experienced it themselves to better understand the places that they've been, the places that they're going to, and where they're at right now. And I think that to take the idea that all combat, all combat injuries or what we experience in combat brings some sort of a irreconcilable trauma. I want to temper that idea and say, yeah, it's trauma, but it's not irreconcilable, and we can use it to grow. And it's not something we want to put behind us. It's something we want to understand, because trying to put it behind us and ignore it just ignores an essential and a quintessential part of our makeup as veterans and of Bravo Company's makeup as veterans. But if they can understand it and harness it, then they can control what they've experienced and possibly even use it for good.
Yeah, and you have that lived experience as a combat veteran and also as a war correspondent. I would imagine having that shared common ground also allowed soldiers of Bravo Company to feel more comfortable just being vulnerable with you.
I hope so. I hope it did. And I feel that knowing that language, I mean, both the sort of language at the lowest level, the patois, right, of the infantryman, being able to curse amongst the best of them is an important way of unlocking language, but also the higher level language, understanding some of the, I mean, to not get too heady with it, but some of like the metaphysical questions that every infantryman has when they come home. What was I doing there? Was it worth it? Did I grow as a person? Did I do the right thing? Is my country doing the right thing? All those questions, be able to kind of to say, yeah, I understand where you're coming from, and I want to talk to you about this, and I want to listen to what you have to say. And for anybody out there who is a veteran, knows a veteran, and wonders how to talk to them about war, well, sometimes the best way to talk is just to listen. And I think that having that compassion and empathy to say, yeah, tell me about your experience, and I'm going to try to understand it, and I'm going to try to help you work through understanding it as well, was so important. And I think allowed for a completely different depth and level in Bravo Company, this book, that a lot of other books aren't able to get.
Yeah, and that language that you're talking about was so instrumental, because it really feels like you're talking with soldiers in a conversation about their experiences. There are moments of rough language, but there's also jokes, as you touched upon, in tragic moments. Was that an intentional choice to create authenticity? Because, I mean, if so, you succeeded in that.
Thank you. And I mean, yeah, I guess it was an intentional choice, but it was also the free-flowing way that that language, both at the low level we talked about and the higher sort of deeper meaning aspect of it, operates in the military. Anybody knows the military is full of the most mundane, awful, silly things, like sitting out in the rain, picking up cigarette butts, doing stupid crap all the time. That's part of it. But also, you are in combat. You're doing things where every moment that you're in a combat zone, you can change the course of another person's reality, of their life, of an entire village, of an entire country's strategy with a pull of the trigger or not pulling that trigger. And so in the military and in combat, there is this interplay of the low and the vulgar and the profane and the sublime, all swirling around each other at all times. And in Bravo Company, trying to balance those highs and lows and the comedy and the tragedy that sit side by side, sometimes comfortably and sometimes uncomfortably with each other. That's just, I mean, yeah, it was an intentional aspect on my part as an author, but that's just the reality of what it means to serve in uniform.
Yeah, a big part of your book also comes to the Department of Veterans Affairs. They actually selected Bravo Company as test subjects for a new approach to the veteran crisis. What's different about this type of resource of support?
Yeah. So when you get out of, well, when you come back from combat, really, almost every military unit in the United States, as soon as you come back from combat, it gets split into pieces. Men and women go to other units. New men and women come in, people retire, people leave, people join. It is constantly changing, and that's just the unit level. When you get out of the military, a lot of times you feel like you're cut adrift. And even men and women who leave the service and do what we expect of them, if they're on hard times as veterans, you know, they go to the VA and they sign up and ask for help. They are treated almost as individual entities that float around on their own plan with their own therapist, their own program, by themselves. And it's that lack of a team, that lack of a unit that can oftentimes be the thing that is that's causing people so much pain, whether they know it or not. And what the VA did with Operation Resiliency was they said, look, we are going to treat these men as part of a unit. So we're not treating it as Mr. X, Sergeant Y, Private so-and-so. We're treating this as a Bravo company reunion. And by bringing everyone back together and treating them as a unit and making sure that those bonds that were forged through the crucible of combat 10 years before the reunion, that they were able to take those bonds and refresh them and trust that those bonds would be much stronger than anything some VA therapist that's treating a person as an individual might be able to muster.
Wow, that's really powerful. And, you know, you've really underscored throughout our entire conversation about, you know, troops finding a sense of purpose or meaning for just all of their work and their sacrifices and service in Afghanistan. I'm curious, does the withdrawal from Afghanistan in 2021 complicate that sense of purpose for veterans?
All right, I'm going to punt on this and say yes and no, because yes, it deeply affects some of the men and women. I've talked to a lot of people, both in my reporting at the Wall Street Journal and for the book, for reporting for Bravo Company, that people were upset by it. People were upset at the way it happened. It's not necessarily that they were upset that we left Afghanistan, because as I say in the book, peace does come. And at a certain point, wars end. And every man and woman that I've spoken with who have been in Afghanistan, and every man from Bravo Company, knew that it was going to end at some point. What they did not like was the way that it ended, and they, to a man, felt let down by the way that everything just sort of fell apart at the end. That being said, though, they also did understand that, hey, I did my job. I was in the book's called Bravo Company. It's about a company. My company is a relatively small group. I mean, like fewer than 200 soldiers typically, and a company is a really small piece in this grand strategic puzzle. I try to explain how they fit into that strategic puzzle in the book. But if you're at a company level, say you're a private or a specialist, you just are doing your job that's there in front of you and controlling that square mile or two of territory that you've been tasked to deal with for 7 months, 9 months, a year. And so when I talk to the men of Bravo Company, yeah, a lot of them feel, hey, man, Afghanistan should not have ended the way it ended. But you know what? I did my job 10 years ago. I did it as best I could. And damn it, like that is enough to make me feel pride in what I did. And no strategic issues are going to take away the fact that I did my best at the tactical level with the men to my left and right.
Finally, Ben, we only have, you know, we have less than a minute left. And I'm just curious, because there's a part in the book where you explain this, quote, like a dividing line between a soldier and a civilian returning home and having to explain that not all soldiers experience combat, even if they are deployed to a combat zone. I mean, that's just one of countless examples of just a collective lack of understanding of the realities of wars. In the last few seconds we have, what do you want readers to take away from your book?
I want civilian readers to take away that this is what it feels like to go to combat and come back. These are some of the basic tools you can use to understand it. But more importantly, I want veterans who read this to understand that the dividing line between civilian and military, it's not just the civilian's fault. It's the military's fault. And we need to break that down, because we're citizen soldiers, and it's our job to be part of this republic and to come home and explain what we went to do on behalf of the electorate.
Ben Kessling is a journalist with the Wall Street Journal and a combat veteran. Thank you so much for the conversation, Ben.
Thank you very much for having me.
His new book is titled Bravo Company, An Afghanistan Deployment and Its Aftermath. That is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast. If you want to join the conversation, email us at insight@capradio.org. I'm Vicky Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.